Hi, Yasu. Thanks very, very much for taking the time to be interviewed by Transitions Online. I'm sitting in Yerevan and you're sitting in Baku. It's coming up to 9 in both cities. How's the weather there?
Hi, Anik. It's great talking to you again, this time from Baku. Things are good. Weather is really cold. It's been snowing here, as you probably know, but it looks like the weather is getting slightly bit warmer. So I'm looking forward to warmer weather here.
So perhaps you could just briefly introduce yourself to readers of Transitions Online.
Sure. I've been working on Azerbaijan for the last couple years, but really I've got involved about 3 years ago when I started my work with a Berlin-based think tank, actually, working in Istanbul, doing a project on Azerbaijan. And we first started with gender equality and how equality between men and women has been changing over time. We really got involved in the political development and economic development, and slightly closer to the end of the project, which was last summer, we really kind of changed the focus because Emin and Adnan, two young activists, got arrested. So we decided to perhaps start with this kind of development because it was huge here and it got out internationally. So I've been covering that for ESI. Right now, I work for the National Democratic Institute based in Baku. So I moved back from Istanbul to Baku in December 2009. I am a blogger. I've set up my blog in 2008. It's called Flying Carpets and Broken Pipelines. The blog itself got quite popular here in Baku and also in Armenia and Georgia, as I've been hearing from my new friends I've been meeting. So I write about political developments mostly on my blog, though I try to keep it also a bit social. So yeah, this is me.
I have to be honest, when I first encountered your blog and on a search for Azerbaijan, I was really like amazed to see such an open, frank discussion about realities related to Azerbaijan. And of course, the same is needed here in Armenia as well. How do you think the blog has opened up communication and open discussion, not just in Azerbaijan, but also specifically between Armenians and Azerbaijanis? Because I think it has, in a way, right?
In a way, it has, definitely. I think one of the initial things that really made it so, I guess, popular was, again, as you said, the openness and the open criticism of the situation in the country. Because many might think the way I think, but not everyone decides writing about this and writes about this, you know, publicly and in English, which is quite rare here in the country. Regarding the communication connection, I've met in Georgia a couple of weeks ago a famous Armenian blogger, actually, aside from you, of course, Shagane. And I was quite amazed because we sat next to each other without knowing each other, to be honest. And then once we started talking to each other, she told me, oh, you know, I run this blog, 7er blog, you probably know about it. And I said, well, I'm also the author of Flying Carpets. I was like, oh, I've heard about you. You know, I actually heard about you through Onik. And we've exchanged few ideas and the way we've been writing. And we were saying how important it is. And the fact that she's reading my blog and now I'm following her blog. I've been following you. So it's definitely been, it's been small in kind of steps way. But it did kind of took off. Which is a good sign, I think.
Yeah, I mean, indeed. And although you say it's a small step, I mean, if you were really to ask me like a few months before first making contact with you, I would never have imagined that even those small steps could have been taken. And with each passing month, and I especially think that certain developments in Azerbaijan also provided a catalyst for this, showing that there were progressive, open-minded, tolerant youth in Azerbaijan. And I hope that maybe some Azerbaijanis saw that there was some progressive, open, tolerant youth in Armenia, that in a way it overcame some of the stereotypes that even sometimes the most progressive of people have, because they're not in touch. I mean, do you think that's happened?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And also, I think it's crucial that we've kind of got in touch with this part of the society, both in Armenia and Azerbaijan, the kind of, you know, either Western educated or youth with that's open to communication. And I think the only pity to this is that not everyone in the country is probably as open as we are, and not everyone gets access to the tools that we have access to. But I definitely and absolutely agree with you on the fact that it's been very important, and it's been actually crucial, I would say. And I'm actually honored to be part of this, because it's a really, you know, despite it being a small step, it's quite significant.
We've spoken about the blog, but also a lot is happening with things like Facebook. I mean, do you see that one is more important or more effective than another, or do you think they're both necessary? And also, how do you think that actual physical meeting between people in Azerbaijan and Armenia, how important is that as well as the online communication?
Well, the online communication is good, and it's, well, let's start with Facebook and connection with the blog. They both kind of complete each other, because when I write something on my blog, someone posts it on Facebook. And so everyone on Facebook, friends of that person, friends and my friends, can actually go on my blog and read the post. So Facebook, in a way, is kind of the connector. The way I see it is a connector. Also, the things that people post in Armenia and in Azerbaijan, you know, different articles, and it doesn't have to be political. It could be about culture, it could be about music, it could be about anything, has also been in a way of information sharing, online information sharing for the both sides. And especially for me, given my recent communication with many Armenians living in Yerevan, for me it's been very interesting to follow the news and see what kind of similar things are taking place in both of the countries. So for that, I would say they're both definitely connected and yes, complete each other, if I might say that. The physical contact, that's been a bit tricky, because, you know, the only time when we can actually be in this kind of touch is when we're somewhere in a joint event. And for me, it's been Georgia. I've been to Georgia several times past year and this year now. And to be honest, it's been a very, you know, a very interesting feeling. It's like happiness, because, you know, you meet people who think the way you think, and you meet people who understand you, and you sit down at a table, you eat together, you drink together, you talk together. It's amazing. But again, that's been only happening because we're in a mutual kind of territory, because right now, you know, we can't travel, and you can't visit us, which is, you know, it's a pity. So yes, I mean, It's been important, and also because once you meet physically, then you can, you know, add each other on Facebook. You can follow each other updates. So it's important. But I wish there were more such events taking place in Georgia or in Turkey or elsewhere. We could all meet together and get to know each other.
You mentioned some problems earlier with regards to access to these tools. How much of a problem do you think access is?
Oh, I think it's quite of a big problem, because just today I was reading an article on Radio Liberty, but Azeri service. And there was an article on internet users in Georgia. And there was a survey in which they saw that most of the people who go online, they either watch a movie or log on to Odnoklassniki or log on to Facebook. And Facebook at best. And usually most of the answers were to watch a movie or download music. This is a kind of a step up, but again, I mean, you know, downloading music online, it's nothing. You can't use, they're not using internet to the full capacity. And in Azerbaijan, we have actually quite a bad situation, because in the regions, people have, you know, quite low access to the internet. The internet cafes are usually full with boys who are playing online games. In the city, it's a bit different, because you have more of a kind of technology savvy youth who also does, you know, they use internet to read news and you know, post things on their blogs and things as such. But again, even in the capital, there was another survey actually done by another youth movement here in Azerbaijan, where they go on the street and interview people randomly. And most of the men, young men actually, were saying that, you know, internet is not good for girls, you know, they don't know how to use it. And, you know, for us, it's just, again, to, you know, to watch a movie or, I'm sorry, but to log onto a porn site, you know. So it's not as accessible in terms of its availability. And it's not as accessible in terms of knowledge of what internet can give to an individual.
Yet you mentioned women, and it's been very refreshing for me to see womensforum.net, which is a really excellently put together website, which deals with very many taboos related to gender, not just in Azerbaijan, but the same could also be said for Armenia. I mean, it definitely plays a role, and we also saw that All and the AN network are also using online tools. Certainly for those people who do want to break out of the media stranglehold or the way certain groups and certain issues are presented in society, the internet does have a role, doesn't it?
It definitely does. I mean, the Women's Forum, yes, I absolutely agree with you. It's been a great initiative, and it's been initiated by a friend of mine. And I also contribute for the Women's Forum. And, you know, the articles that these young women and even middle-aged women who live in Azerbaijan or live abroad or from Azerbaijan, the articles that they write are usually very interesting because, again, as you said, it's mostly on taboo subjects. Like, you know, if I write an article about divorce or I write about an article on expectations before marriage, I mean, it's amazing to see the people's reaction because, you know, they comment and they say, you know, I'm so glad that you're writing about this because I've been thinking about this, but I had no idea that I could talk about this openly or I could share my ideas with someone. And for On and All, I mean, these guys, again, they've studied abroad. They're educated, and that's the main thing. I mean, that's what makes them so open to these kind of tools because they also know that through internet they can get access to immense amount of information. And they can also get access to an immense amount of people, again through the blogs, through their websites, through the videos that they're doing and putting on their websites. So definitely, yes. I mean, it's been very important for those who know how to use it.
I think it's also very interesting that, you know, these issues as well on Women's Forum Net, on your blog, and on other sites, just as you said with what people are posting on Facebook, there are issues that are also of concern in the other countries. So actually the issues in Armenia and Azerbaijan are pretty similar. So in a sense, there is some exchange of information there. I've noticed people are following womensforum.net in Armenia, for example.
Yes. It's quite funny. A couple of days ago, I was Skyping with a friend, actually a friend from Yerevan. We used to work together at ESI. She was one of our analysts, Mary. And she Skyped me and said, I just read your article on Women's Forum, my interview. I recently, Women's Forum published my interview. And you know, I was so happy because you know, we spoke with her for like 20 minutes and we discussed the problems and discussed the issues. And you know, it's really is the same because the communities are the same. You know, having contact with the Armenians who live in Armenia, with Azerbaijanis who live in Azerbaijan, it's important. I think these kind of initiatives are very positive in terms of this.
And talking about how similar the communities are, I mean, you were involved in the first phase of a project that Tol supported in its second phase. Actually, I think that had it not been for our initial contact, this project wouldn't have actually happened in the first place. What are your reflections on the first phase of the project, and what did you think of the similarities and the issues that were raised in the second phase based on Armenians and Azerbaijanis living in Georgia?
Well, I think the initiative itself was amazing. I've enjoyed working with you and being in that village, and we were so lucky that we made it to that wedding and we got invited to that wedding. My impressions from the first phase was that instantly when we were doing it, you know, I thought, oh, I hope this continues because this is really interesting because we're in Georgia, we're in an ethnically Azeri populated village, and we're talking to these people and asking about their problems. And it was amazing for me to see because I've done gender work over the last 2 years and I've been working in regions in Azerbaijan as well, to see that, you know, a woman in that village had the same kind of problem that a woman in southern Azerbaijan had. Or they also had, you know, early marriages, or they also thought of, for a girl's education, not to be as important or not carry that much significance. I was quite jealous of the second phase because I really wish that I was there, because this time it was so much more colorful because you got to see a village where both of the communities live together. And I was reading the blog posts and I was reading your post about the visit, and I was telling myself, okay, if I'm not here this time, and I'm not, I have to be there in the third phase because I can't miss on this. It's almost inspiring. It really is, and it really was, and I hope it continues.
I can't tell you how strange it is to speak to an ethnic Azeri and Armenian, and also for ethnic Armenians to speak to the Azerbaijani participants in Azerbaijani. I never could have expected it. I had heard about it, But when you actually confront it, yes, it really is quite amazing.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
But do you think that such things, such highlighting such situations can actually assist in conflict transformation? Forget about conflict resolution, but changing these negative stereotypes that are in force and in some cases exaggerated by the media in both countries.
We should look at this in this way. You know, if we didn't do the first stage, you know, where would be? We wouldn't have done this amazing project. And, you know, it would have been just me and you probably giving trainings and just, you know, commenting on our blogs and keeping in touch. But we did it, and we took the first step. And more people should know about this, because it's important to show people in Azerbaijan and people in Armenia that these two communities can coexist together. They can, you know, the children can go to school together. And in fact, you know, they understand each other. It's important that these people understand each other deep inside. They share, you know, they share the pain. They share the love. It's so important. And I think this, you know, I hope we could make this huge, like, you know, make it so international that people realize that you can live in peace. You don't have to fight. You don't have to argue. You don't have to be in constant state of war.
So you think that social, new media, blogs, these alternative mediums for information can really contribute to changing attitudes?
Yes. I think it's a good start. Let's put it this way. I think it's a good start, and I think it should continue. And I think, you know, individually, I try to make it as verbal and as sound as possible to people who surround me that, you know, it's important that these initiatives are done. It's important that, you know, people like you and me and journalists from other journalists from Azerbaijan and Armenia work together on projects as such, because this is the future. You know, the newspapers, it's kind of old fashioned. You know, it's all about now new media. It's all about sharing information online. So I think it's definitely important. And I know that probably each and every one of us who's taking part in this project is getting a lot of criticism from the local community. I myself received an email recently from this nationalist guy from Azerbaijan who criticized me for things that I write, for my ideas that, you know, Armenians and Azerbaijanis can live together, then can coexist together. And I said, look, I know what I don't understand where this is coming from, because things are possible, and we're the young generation. We should change things. But yeah, I think there will be people like this, but it shouldn't turn anybody off. We should continue what we're doing, and we should, you know, stay focused, because this is what we can do, and it looks that it can make a difference.
Well, hopefully by setting an example, it can change those attitudes over time. Just to end, though, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I would like to say that I have never thought that, you know, me having my blog will kind of lead me into this kind of work. I've been participating in a program called Model Caucasus Parliament. And remember, we were there together in the second workshop, and we presented together. And, you know, I thought, This is the moment. I'm here giving a presentation to a group of young, possibly leaders from Georgia, from Armenia, from Azerbaijan, you know, teaching them how to use Twitter, how to use blogs, how to use Facebook to be more productive, how to do things that might bring together different communities. And so I've been very happy to be part of this. I'm really happy that I met you, and I hope we still continue working together. And just thank you for all your work that you've been doing in case of Amin and Adnan, and in case of just this whole cooperation building bridge, I guess. I've been enjoying all of this, so thank you.
Well, I think were it not for actually discovering your blog, I don't think any of this would have been possible either. So are you still on for presenting in April in Tbilisi?
Yes, for PH International, yeah?
So there is more to come, and hopefully it will result in some change. Thanks very much, Arzu.
Thank you.